All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're in the third chapter of Matthew. And we've been putting a lot of emphasis upon the word repent in the second verse. Now, in the English-speaking world, repent, you know, kind of carries the idea you're sorry for something that you did and you're going to do something else. But what the Greek word actually means is change your mind. And as we get into this, we're going to see the change of mind that was necessary for the Jews. And really, if you look at all of the religious systems of the world, they have one common denominator. And because the religions of this world came not from God, but from the devil. And it took place in the Garden of Eden when Eve was deceived. And people asked the question, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? And it's ignorance, actually, of the Word of God which causes them to ask that question, because God didn't put it there. The devil did. See? And it's a counterfeit of the tree of life. And the devil promised Eve, you know, you won't surely die if you eat of that tree. And then got her off away from the Word of God so that she was deceived. And she ate of the tree, and then she gave also to her husband. And we learn over in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans that Adam was not, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 also, but Adam wasn't deceived. He gave himself for his wife. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, we will one day, as believers in Jesus Christ, during the kingdom age, we will be wed to him. I don't know what that means exactly, but we're going to have a kind of a marriage relationship. It's not going to be like the marriage relationship we have on this earth, but it's going to be a loving relationship, reciprocal love for the love that he showed us. And that's really what you have in a marriage as well, or should have in a marriage. Unfortunately, for her sake, fortunately, I lost Joanne last year on the 6th of December, and her last couple of years were not very pleasant. She had a lot of pain and a lot of trouble, and it was a blessing when the Lord took her into his presence. And you say, how can you talk that way? And because I know where she is. I've been preaching the gospel for over 60 years, and so I know something of the Word of God. There's always something new to learn. But if you don't have the comfort of the Scriptures, then you see all of this nonsense that goes on in the world. Now, I want to pause for this. This isn't new. Kind of comes from our book, our study of the book of Genesis on Wednesday night. But what did Eve see in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or let me put it this way. By definition, what is the knowledge of good and evil? It's morality. Okay. And every religious system in the world is based upon man's morality, except biblical Christianity. And we're going to see why this morning. The Scripture teaches us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned. That is, when Adam sinned, we sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's very difficult for people to get away from that concept that the relationship with God is based on the life that they live. Now, in one sense of the word, it is. What does the Scripture say? The just shall live by faith. And then if we take the rest of it, and the law is not of faith. But the religions of the world are based upon, you know, what we can do for God. And biblical Christianity is based upon what God has done for us. So think about the Jewish nation. Why, over the years, have the Jews been persecuted? And they're still being persecuted. And here recently, we've seen a lot of anti-Semitism in this country. But why? Well, the average person looks at the Jew, and he sees all of the Jews' faults. And he says, how can they be God's chosen people? Well, God chose the nation of Israel because they were related to Abraham. It goes all the way back to Adam. He promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. He promised that the seed of Abraham, and it's singular, it's not plural. It's not talking about the offsprings of Abraham. It's talking about one. The seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And so the promises that God made to Abraham back in Genesis are all based upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are not based upon anything that Abraham did or that we can do. You know, and salvation is not based upon what we can do. It's based upon what Jesus Christ did for us in our behalf. So I'm going to start at verse 1 again. In the third chapter of Matthew. But I want to spend more time with some verses a little later on. So first of all, it says, in those days came John the Baptist. And we pointed out last week, several weeks before, that John the Baptist was 6 years older than Jesus. And at one point in Scripture, it says of John the Baptist, if the Jews had received him, both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, then John the Baptist would have been Elijah. You know. And Elijah has to come back to this earth. He was translated into heaven without dying. Same thing was true of Enoch. You know. And they both will come back into this world in the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation. They are the two witnesses. And think about this. These are men of God, justified by faith. No one's justified by the lives that we live. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when we think about it, Elijah was able to do all kinds of things. And then when Jezebel promised him that she was going to cut his throat, he got scared and he fled to a cave. And that cave was in a mountain opposite the Mount of God. You know, there's no such thing on Mount Sinai or on what we call the Sinai Peninsula. On the true Mount Sinai, I'll get it right. Sinai is in Arabia. The Scripture says it's in Arabia. What's called Sinai is still in Egypt. And, you know, people, they just don't get it. You know. And once you start a tradition, I mean, they've got St. Catherine's up there, and I think it was one of the Queens of England that named it. But this cathedral at the top of Mount Sinai, you know, but as you look around, there are none of the things on Mount Sinai that you read about in Scripture. Okay? But when you get over in the Midian, which is in Arabia, then we find those things. But like I say, once a tradition is started, you can't change it. And I preach on Easter, and I preach on Christmas. And in those messages, I show that Christ couldn't possibly have been crucified on Friday. You know, because there are not 3 days and three nights between Friday close to sunset and Sunday before dawn. Remember, the women came to the tomb and it was empty while it was yet dark. So it hadn't dawned to the first day of the week yet. The Jews count their day from sunset to sunset, or sunset to sunrise, and sunrise to sunset. That would be the day portion. So they have many traditions, and by their traditions and interpretations of the rabbis, they get the sense that they're good. But when we look at them, or anybody else in the world looks at them, you know, and there's been a lot of anti-Semitism expressed in this country in the last year or so, which I believe, according to a prophecy over in the 18th chapter of the Revelation, God is saying to the Jews, come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her deeds. And that's economic Babylon, who I believe will be the United States. And because the judgment that comes upon Babylon is going to be like an angel taking a great millstone. Some of those millstones were as tall as this building or this room, and wide, out of stone, and they would have an ass or an ox, you know, that would pull it and it would roll and crush the wheat. Okay. And as a kid, living near the L.A. River that has very little water in it, but back in those days it wasn't all paved like it is now. And so there was always a little trickle of water. And we used to go down there and play. I remember one day trying to cross a spot, and I sunk up to my chest in mire. That's the one I wonder I didn't kill myself, but the Lord wasn't through with me yet. Anyway, let's pick up at verse 3, or verse 1 of the third chapter. I want to read down to verse 6 to begin with. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent. Now, the English word repent is not a good translation of the Greek word that we find here, and our New Testament was written in Greek, Koine Greek, which was the Greek of the common people. And it was given to the Jews, the rest of the world, at the time when the Greeks ruled before the Romans. And we've had all this talk about, Black Lives Matter and all this. I agree. Every life matters. But tearing down historical monuments and civil disobedience isn't going to improve one thing. So let's go back to this. So change your mind. That's what repent means. Now, what was the change of mind that the Jews needed? See, it's the same change of mind that we need. We have to change our mind from that we get to heaven by what we do, how we live. Are we good enough? Well, the fact of the matter is the Scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. The only person who ever lived a sinless life on this earth is God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And if we read over in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we are a three-part being as well, if we've been saved. But after Eve ate of the tree, the rest of the world is just a two-part being. They have a body, and they have a soul, which is the conscious part of them. But when we're saved, we're indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, who regenerates our spirit, so that by the Spirit of God that indwells us and the preaching and reading of the Word of God, we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and begin to understand spiritual truth. which we can't understand naturally. You know, and it's trying to teach first graders calculus. You know, a little bit too far advanced at that point in time. You have to learn to add, you have to learn to subtract, you have to learn to multiply, you have to learn to divide, you have to take algebra, you have to take geometry, trigonometry, and go down the various steps. Then you finally get to calculus and get to work quadratic equations. Wonderful. Learned more about math in 2 weeks in the Air Force than I ever did in high school. Anyway, coming back to this, it says, change your mind in verse 2. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the common people heard John gladly, and they did change their minds, and John did baptize them. And the baptism of John isn't like, you know, under the canopy of Christianity. Most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity believes that baptism saves. Well, there's a baptism that saves, and then there's ritual baptism. The baptism that saves is when God indwells us by His Spirit at the moment of our salvation. And so now we have the capacity to understand spiritual truth. Otherwise, we're spiritually dead. So these shoes, and we're going to see here in a moment, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were two of the elite interpreting groups in Israel, they also came out to see John. But their means or reason for coming out was more of curiosity. Why are all the common people going out there? So we've got to see what's going on. So let's pick up. And so the same John had his raiment of camel's hair. I guess you can brush the camel and get the hair off it, spin it into wool, and weave it into a garment. That's what John the Baptist wore. And he had a leather girdle around his waist. Okay. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Happened to watch Hidalgo, an old movie. But there's just this terrible, it almost looks like a storm, but it's locusts. And locusts are edible, you know. And he says, it isn't too bad when you get past the legs. Anyway, John the Baptist leaves a led a rather strange life. And because he was under a Nazarite vow from his birth, he never had a haircut. He never shaved, you know, as his body matured. So he would be, he's about 30 years old now, so his beard, you know, he's been growing it for probably 10 years at least. And, some just body types, and whether dark complected, light complected. I also watched the movie Catch Me If You Can. And they used that wimpy little guy in Hollywood to play the part of a guy that could pass as an airline pilot when he was 17 years old, you know. And they had the wrong actor. But I went to school with people like Bill Fell, who happens to be a very good track star. He broke Glenn Davis's record for the 100-yard dash on a football field at the Coliseum in California, in L.A., and you would run from one end zone to the other in a football uniform carrying a football, and he slipped when he started and still beat Glenn Davis's record. And it still holds today as far as I know. Okay. But, it says, and they were baptized of him in Jordan. That's the common people. Confessing their sins. Basically, it's the sin of them. And the primary sin of the nation of Israel, the primary sin of each of us, came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's sin in the singular. It's believing that we can be like God by the life that we live. And it's impossible. God demands perfection. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now, a viper is a poisonous snake. And the serpent, the judgment of the serpent, he was, Lazarus, not, I'll get it right here, but Lucifer. They both began with an L. With the judgment of Lucifer, then he took the form of what we call serpents today. But prior to that, he was probably a household pet because Eve didn't seem the least bit upset when he began to talk to her. You know? And then, of course, the judgment. And if you look at, I think somebody said there are 3,000 different varieties of snakes in the world. And some of them are very beautiful, and some of them are very lethal. Okay. So, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, so the common people came out and listened to John and changed their minds by the message that John preached. But now we have the big mucky mucks. You know, we've got the big shots in the church, or not the church, in Judaism. These are the people that interpret the law. And so they came out to his baptism, and he said unto them, O generation of vipers, or offsprings of the devil, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So these religious folks, accepted of the people as being really knowing and being really holy, John the Baptist says of them, change your mind, and because who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, they would be called by the world holy men. But they weren't. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then he said to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, or show that you've changed to mind, your mind, by what you produce. Well, all they produced before was self-righteousness and the condemnation of anyone who wasn't as holy as they were in their minds. It's like Lazarus and the rich man. Poor Lazarus, he was a beggar, sat at the entrance of the gate to the temple and begged, But he believed. And when they both died, it says of Lazarus that he was comforted in Abraham's bosom. It says of the rich man, and many of these Pharisees and Sadducees were very wealthy. So it kind of implies he was one of them. And he says to him, bring forth therefore fruit that shows that you have had a change of mind. In other words, get away from Jewish tradition and come over to the truth that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, at this point, let's go over to the third chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And I really should start at the beginning, but I want to start at verse 19, and then we may go back towards the beginning. Okay. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? What Paul was asking the Galatians, what is the law for? The law was a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of death, because the scripture says, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. little later on, 6 months after the ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, and he began to preach to the Jews, and he began to point out how they were failing before the law. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees had the idea they were keeping it, but Jesus intensified it to show them that if you look at a woman, good-looking gal walks in the room, okay, and you look at her to lust after her in your heart, it's the same as if you'd already took her to bed. Okay? You've already committed adultery with her in your mind. See? And then he said, this, I guess, directed more at women than men, but men have just as much hatred as women. But if you hate a person without a cause, you've murdered them. Okay. And we're talking about a just cause. You know, so it's hard for an unjust man to justly judge anybody. So we get a little idea of, you know, the law was not to show a person how to live. And that's why what everybody does, that's what all the religions do. It was to show them they couldn't live that way. This is God's standard. If you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven based upon what you got, what you do, you've got to keep this law perfectly. And they were constantly failed before the law because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So it says of the law, it was added because of transgressions. Now, the transgressions of the nation of Israel when they were in Egypt before God gave them the law. You know, he gave them the law when they went over into Arabia at the foot of Mount Sinai. And then wherefore then serveth the law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. There we have that singular seed again. Who is the singular seed? Jesus. What Jesus come to do? He came as God in the person of a man through the virgin birth so that he could be God and man or man without a sin nature. Because God is made of one blood, all of the families of the earth. So we get our sin nature from our Father. But Jesus was virgin born. Therefore, the blood that flowed in his veins came from his Father, didn't come from Adam. So he didn't have a sin nature. He was holy. He's God incarnate. Okay? So, it goes on to say then, that the law was added because of transgressions till the seed Christ should come to whom the promise was made. As the promise back in the Garden of Eden with the judgment of the serpent. God promised to Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. It's not seeds, plural. It's seeds, singular. Okay. And that's important. To whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one. You can't mediate for yourself before, you know, to yourself. People do it all the time. They say, oh, people might call you a murderer, but you're a pretty good guy because of the color of your skin. To just make it an allusion to what's going on in this world, which has caused people to be lawless and tearing up national monuments, defiling the graves of soldiers in Arlington Cemetery. You know, they went and tore that all up. And these men died so they could have the freedom to express, you know, but freedom of speech doesn't mean that you can badmouth everybody. And freedom of speech isn't that you can swear publicly. You know, when they were talking about the freedom of speech movement at Berkeley, they would get together with one another and think of all the filthy words that they could think of and say them to one another and say, it's just a word. You know, self-justification. But a violation, yeah, you know. And of course, when we involve God in our oaths, that's what real swearing is. You know, the world wouldn't recognize real swearing. They think corrupt speech is swearing. When saying that I can glorify God by my life is an oath that is completely contrary to the truth of the Word of God. Okay. And we have to recognize that. So the difference between swearing and swearing. Swearing is claiming, I can keep the law. And no one can. Only God can keep the law. And so we go on. That says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So, but God is also a tripart being. He's the Father, who is the Spirit. The Spirit is also Spirit. And the Son, you know. So we can compare the Father to spiritual reality and life. And we can compare the between a man and God, the soul of God. It would be likened as the spirit of man. And then the second version of the Godhead took a human body by means of the virgin birth so that he could be God with us. Okay? And that's very important. Because in order for us to have the blessings of the law, the law has to be kept. And in the kingdom age, we're going to enjoy all of the blessings that God promised Israel if they would keep the law, but they couldn't keep it, but they thought they could. And the rest of the religious world thinks it can. But no one can, because the Scripture says very clearly, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. I've had a drainage in my throat and just caused my voice to crack a little bit. You'll just have to put up with it. Okay. So, Paul asked a very important question here. Is the law against the promises of God? And then he says, God forbid, which was an English term, but in the Greek it says, may it never be. There's no condition under which God could fail to, fail in His law. It's not against the promises of God. The law shows the need for the promise of God in Jesus Christ. It shows us that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It shows us the holiness of God. And we can't reach that standard. We can't even come close. And yet, religion's all about what man can do for God. And it's missing the boat completely. They think they're working to get into heaven, and they're just working to go to hell. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, verse 20. But God is one, is the law then against the promises of God? May it never be. For if there had been a law which could have given life, notice the could, that's a conditional word. Could the law provide life? No, because in the normal course of things, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The only one that could keep the law is the one who kept the law, Jesus Christ, who is God. And I just quoted from from John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or literally in the Greek, and God is the Word. I can quote that in Greek, but you wouldn't understand it. In arche, en halagos, kai halagos, en proston theon, kai theos, en halagos. Yeah. Aren't you glad I don't do that often? Because we don't understand it. Yeah. But for a man to understand the Word of God, it's important for us to have good books that teach us something about the Word of God. And I use an interlinear Old Testament from the Hebrew and an interlinear New Testament. And then I can look up the word. And you have to understand that modern Hebrew words have a point system. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's little marks inside the letters and under the letters and so forth. And it's the way the Jews would pronounce it. But for us, we'd look at it and we wouldn't have the least idea how to pronounce it. Okay? Even if we studied Hebrew, we still have trouble pronouncing it. You know, Rahab the harlot? Rahab the harlot. I got all like you're clearing your throat. You know? It's very, very hard to pronounce, so I don't even try. So, but the Scripture hath concluded what? What is the Scripture? What's the conclusion of the Scripture? All under sin. So these Pharisees and Sadducees, they came out to look up their nose at John the Baptist and what in the world is he doing? And look at that, you know, great. Crazy guy. He's never cut his hair. He's got B.O. I don't know whether he did or not.
I'm sure.
But, you know, they just came out to deride him. They didn't come for any purpose other than to put him down. But he was promised. And John the Baptist makes reference to it. The verse is over in Malachi. But Elijah must first come. See? And, you know, and the Scripture says, if the Jews had listened to him, then John the Baptist would have been Elijah. But God is a God of omniscience. He knew that they wouldn't accept it. He knew they couldn't accept him. And he'll have to come back during the Great Tribulation period. And when they put him to death, along with Enoch, their dead bodies are going to lay in the street for 3.5 days. And then God's going to scare the living hell out of them because those men are going to begin to rise and have life again and ascend into heaven. You know. And the Jews, though, prior to that, they're going to give gifts to one another. It's going to be like Christmas. You know. They're happy that they're dead. And that shows man what his nature really is. And if you haven't gotten a good view of what man's nature is, look at what's been going on ever since, a cop used excessive force. Deal with the cop. Don't try to get rid of all cops. You know? Don't be lawless. Yeah, there's no question about the fact that the cop used excessive force. But, you know, he's been fired. He's been charged with second-degree murder. You know. Get over it. And even though he's a very liberal individual, Morgan Freeman said, quit talking about it. You know. And that's really what should happen. You realize when it comes right down to it, if these movements had to pay for all the airtime that they get on television, they would have to be billionaires and spend a lot of their wealth just to get the coverage that they get absolutely free. Yeah. Don't even have to have sponsors. And then we wonder why it grows. But there's an element in this country that wants chaos. They want us to change from being a constitutional republic to being a socialist nation. But look around the world and see, has socialism ever worked anywhere? Well, then they go back to the church age, when everybody had things common. That was an entirely different situation, and even that wasn't perfect, because Ananias and Sapphira sold their possession and said, we gave it all to the Lord, but they held back part for themselves. And Peter said, when it was your own, wasn't it under your power? And when you sold it, wasn't what you got for it under your power? But you promised to give it all to the church just so you could, stretch your stuff. But you held back part. And so both Ananias and Sapphira, when Ananias heard about it, he dropped dead. When Sapphira heard about it, she dropped dead. Yeah. And, but everybody wants to pattern socialism after that early church. It didn't work there either. Okay. And why? Because man has a sin nature. And do you suppose that people that have billions of dollars never worked outside the government, they've got millions and millions of dollars, some even billionaires, and never started a business, never did anything of a sort, but be in Congress for 50 years, and they've got all of this money. Where did it come from?
Yeah.
It was bribes to pass certain laws for certain people so that they could make more money. Yeah. And I hate to be political, but you can't teach human nature without looking at Congress. Yeah. These are supposed to be good, honorable men that we choose to rule. Rule us, and we see some of the, sleaziest people on the face of the earth. Okay, let's come back to this. He goes on to say, in verse 23, but before it says faith, and in Greek they use a lot more definite articles than we do in English. But he's not talking about just faith in general. It's got it's singular, preceded by the definite article. But when the faith comes, we're talking about the body of revealed truth and the person and work of Jesus Christ. When that faith comes, that's what he's talking about. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before the faith came, we were kept under the law, locked up. They translated it, shut up. Under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, in the law there was a sacrificial system. And the sacrificial system, as well as the tabernacle in the wilderness. What was the tabernacle representative of? It says God said to them, dealing with them, make me a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. So that who is God dwelling with man? Jesus Christ. Happened to watch Fiddler on the Roof the other night. And as they're being driven out of a tent, or whatever the name of the place is, wouldn't this be a good time for the Messiah to come? The Messiah has come. And just as the Old Testament scriptures prophesied, the Jews rejected him and crucified him. And so, that's why Elijah wasn't John the Baptist. So during the Great Tribulation period, there's going to be one-third of the nation of Israel that will actually believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they see his feet touch the Mount of Olives, they'll believe on him and be saved. Now, there have been many Jews saved along the way, but the nation as a whole still rejects him. Okay. I can remember preaching a wedding. Had a Gentile marrying a Jew, or Jewess, you know. And the Jews stood over here, and the Christians stood over here, and never the twain did meet. There was more hatred being manifested at that wedding. And of course, I just preached the truth of the gospel. And if the Jews knew their scriptures at all, they would know that they crucified the Lord of glory. He came to redeem them. And of course, in order to redeem them, he had to be crucified. He had to bear the judgment of the sins of the whole world. And so the Jews, did what God knew beforehand they would do. So read the 22nd Psalm and read about all of the agony of crucifixion. And the psalmist David wrote about it hundreds of years before it actually happened. Okay, I'm going to run a couple of more verses here and we'll close. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. That's a pedagogos in Greek. A pedagogos is an attendant slave who is responsible for the rearing of the children in a king's house. Okay? And so the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified. By what? Not the law. The law is a schoolmaster. It's showing us we can't do it. And so it's to bring us so that we might be justified by faith, which is believing that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and gave himself for as a ransom for sin. And if we believe that he did it for us and he gives us the faith to believe, then we have eternal life and we shall never perish. But we shall never, ever be judged for our conduct because Christ was judged for our conduct. The unsaved world, because they want to be judged for their conduct, will be judged for their conduct at the great white throne. But Christians are going to be judged for what they've done in the body. Okay. The body is talking about the local assembly of believers. You know, did you attend? Did you do this? Did you do that? You know. Now, nobody's going to fail heaven because they haven't been active in church. But I kind of liken it to somebody like, all the great violinists I know are from the past. Somebody who can play the violin perfectly. You know, a concert violinist. Don't you suppose when he goes to a concert and listens to a great violinist, someone that can play on the par with himself, that he gets greater enjoyment out of that concert than just the average guy that doesn't have perfect pitch or anything of the sort? And you have to have perfect pitch to play a violin. There are no frets. Okay. You know, it's just the placement of your fingers on strings with no frets. And so you have to know that you're hitting that note. That's why when people are learning to play the violin, it sounds so terrible, the dogs howl. Okay, yeah. So there, I believe in heaven there will be degrees of joy, but it'll be joy for all. You know? And the reason, what you can add to that joy is just grow up a little bit more in the things of the Lord. I've got to stop. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we see what John the Baptist was saying to these religious leaders who were very wealthy, very highly respected, but lost. In a position where they were looked up to as the people that knew the truth, but they didn't know the truth. They just knew Jewish tradition. And we have the same thing in the church age. Men that are highly esteemed, have great big churches, make lots of money, and the people look to them for understanding. And when we see them interviewed on television, that we find that they have very little understanding at all. blessing each of our hearts and lives. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.